television evangelist Oral Roberts dies at the age of 91. He opened the door for a lot of others, paved the way, so to speak, as far as television evangelists overall are concerned. We'll take a quick look back. The feds, with a big crackdown and a massive Medicare fraud, that's good news. They arrested 26. It's unbelievable the scams people are pulling and the money they're making on Medicare as they get lists of people, lists with people who are on Medicare and then use phony billing practices. And I'm glad that's happening. A lot of that has taken place in Florida, and there's not a lot of people to investigate it, and that's part of the problem. So we've got some of the details on that as well. In the meantime, you know, we're talking about saving energy and how important it is to conserve and et cetera and whatnot. And now we find out that these traffic lights, and I know these traffic lights, they're talking about the LED traffic lights, they don't burn quite hot enough to melt snow. So many of you listening to me have snow on the ground around you. You just went through blizzard conditions, and it caused dozens of accidents, and they're saying at least one death. So they didn't think about that when they flipped to the LED lights, but in some areas and during certain parts of the year, it's really, really rough. In the meantime, we talked about Medicare. I mentioned that in the headline, the feds arresting 26. Well, check this out. The police are accused of a cover-up in an immigration attack. What does all this mean? I've got some of the sort of details on that one. And the spot in rural Illinois that we've been talking about for the last couple of days, a prison there, Thompson, is going to house some Gitmo detainees. But how are they getting there? Are they swimming? I mean, seriously, I don't understand this. There's all this conversation about, wow, okay, that's going to create jobs, and there's going to be 100 or so, and that's a good thing because this town is less than 500, and people aren't working, and okay, we can weather the criticism from those who are upset about it. But how are they getting there in the first place? Can somebody tell me that? Doesn't it take an act of Congress, whether the president or the attorney general want Guantanamo closed by January 22nd, there has to be something to back that up. So I don't get why there's no conversation on the very thing that is the obstacle in this prison in Illinois getting the terrorist suspects. I mean, give me a break. A second grader was sent home. Here we go again. You decide whether this is too over the top or not. In fact, that's where we're going to start. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. If you haven't heard the show, it's the best water cooler buzz, we like to think, around as we take you through what's happened in the day, give us your own, wait for your spin, give us our spin, et cetera, mix it all up and see what we come with up with in between. And you can always hit us up if you can't dial the digits at 800-259-5791 through snail mail, americatonight.net. Want to say a big shout out to everybody listening to us in Sweden. Suddenly there are a lot of people listening to us in Sweden. So hello to you. And there are some people listening in their offices in Spain as well. So let's talk about it since it is the season to remember in some cases, depending on your religion, the birth of Christ, or maybe you're celebrating something else like Ramadan, just going through that, or Kwanzaa, or Hanukkah, etc. But holy days nonetheless for so many. So this second grader, apparently, and I have seen the drawing in question, is 8-year-old. He was sent home from school, ordered to undergo a psychological evaluation. And this is a kid out of Massachusetts, small town of Massachusetts. He was asked to make a Christmas drawing. He came up with what looked to be a stick figure of Jesus on the cross. And it's what it looks like to me. The teacher got upset when the boy said he drew himself on the cross. So here's what the deal is. The boy who did the drawing is black. So his father said that he suspects that the teacher was upset because the teacher is racist, that there's some racism involved, and thinks the school overreacted and wants an apology. He says his son gets specialized reading and speech instruction and has never been violent in school whatsoever and had any history of it or any of that kind of stuff. The teacher was also alarmed, apparently, when the boy drew X's for the eyes on the stick figure. So check this out. The school district is basically rebutting the father's claims that there is a racist element to this or whatever. And in a written statement, they say that the second grader was never suspended over the drawing. It also said a drawing circulated to the reporters by the boy's father isn't the same one that was discovered by the teacher. It is a good fair or foul. Should the boy have been booted for the drawing? The boy, the 8-year-old boy and his family, by the way, went to the National Shrine of Our Lady of La Saleta in Attleboro, where there are lots of crucifixion statues. Now, doesn't that explain the whole thing? If you know anything about kids and you know kids and drawing things, they draw what they see. My nephew, who I just spent some time with in Florida, same thing. We went to Universal. We had turkey, so he wrote Rip on a piece of paper with a turkey that looked like it was dying. If he was in school, would he get in trouble for that? I don't know. So this is obvious to me. The kid went to the shrine, saw a lot of statues. It was fresh on his mind, and that's what he drew. That's what that was about, period. And it's interesting because this isn't the first time this particular school has done this with kids. There was another kid last year who was in fifth grade who was suspended for drawing a stick figure that appeared to depict him shooting the teacher. So, the question is fair. Did the school overreact? Now, the shooting the teacher thing, I don't know how explicit the drawing was. The kid was older. But in this case, he's 8 years old. He draws a crucifix. It looks like a crucifixion. It's not over the top. I've seen the drawing. And I think it's definitely a question of the school overreacting, undergoing a psychological evaluation over concern over the drawing. I can't see how this kid is a threat to himself or anybody else. It certainly doesn't look that way to me. Hasn't been in trouble in school before. And it's a question of somebody at the school, the teacher and the principal and on down, they're being over the top ridiculous. But this is the society we live in. You know, hey, kids draw what they see, right? So you can weigh in on this, too much or not, 800-259-5791. I don't think he should have been sent home. See, that's the problem. I mean, we all know this. We were kids. It sticks with you when something like that happens. It takes a chunk out of your self-esteem. You get called to the front of class. Next thing you know, you're leaving the school. The kids are talking about it, and you're the outcast. And that's what they've created. That's the unfortunate rippling effects of the simple thing of sending him home. It's never that easy. Stay with us. Copenhagen next.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Are you tired of out-of-control, irresponsible federal deficit spending? Increasing the money supply without increasing productive output leads to inflation. You get less for your money. If you want to protect the buying power of dollars for your future, then call Peter May at Midas Resources. 800-686-2237, extension 135. You've worked hard for your dollars. Don't let the government strip their buying power with wasteful spending. Gold has a 5,000-year track record as money, real money you can count on. No government-backed paper currency comes close. Ask me about the protection of private gold. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. Central banks from around the world are stockpiling gold. They know gold is real money. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135, to discover the advantages of private protected gold.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
In Massachusetts, sent home for a crucifixion picture. He had just been to a place, a holy place, where he saw a lot of crucifixes. So that's what kids do. That's what they draw, what they see. Haven't you done that? It was a stick figure, by the way. Kate, hanging out with you here on America Tonight as we captain these complicated waters. I give the kid a break. Don't set him up for a complex and for the kids talking about him in the you know, in the playground, because that's exactly what is going to happen. That's what happens when you're singled out and everybody talks about you and you're eight years old. That's when that kind of stuff happens. All right. Speaking of being singled out, the U.S. and China are being singled out in Copenhagen as being weak on measures when it comes to climate control. The European Union not happy about it one bit. The world leaders are meeting on Friday. When I say world leaders, like President Obama's there, the biggest of the big will be on hand to have a little round table, or a giant round table, if you will, to try to come up with something that could perhaps in the future be binding. But I don't think they're going to find it. I think Copenhagen will yield lots of conversation, but nothing, and I keep using this analogy or this way of spinning it, nothing with any teeth in it. They're not going to walk away with anything that is going to eventually become law, because you can't do that. Every single country has its own laws, and this is not going to happen over global warming at a summit in Copenhagen. And there are lots of disputes, and there's lots of tension, and there's lots of problems with some of the things that are being suggested. What's interesting, in the wake of global warming, the myth or the reality, the surveys abound, you know, these polls, and the latest survey, which was reliable source, of course, Zogby Interactive, they do some incredible polls. They say nearly half of Americans, or 49%, say they're only slightly or not even at all concerned about climate change. 35% somewhat or highly concerned, according to Zogby. And then there's more specifics on it. Like the results from the survey, of course, come as the United Nations continue to roll through the summit in Copenhagen. And this is the final week. And we keep hearing that the polar ice caps are melting and that global warming is the reason why that's happening. It's going to raise the sea levels. It's going to cause a drought. And we're going to have incredible weather conditions. According to former Vice President Al Gore, that could happen within 7 years. But then the scientist that he quoted said that's not at all what his work was reading. That's not at all what he was predicting, because he wouldn't presume to say that. So there was some discussion over that. So if you can't get one guy to agree with you, well, then you find another guy. Or not. How about this National Weather Association dude, and a guy who's got 36 years in the business, and it's interesting what he said. He says, listen, I think people respond to what's going on around them. Really? Of course. In the last couple of years, especially in the eastern part of the United States, weather patterns have been normal. That was Stephen Harn, who's the executive director for the National Weather Association, right? He talks about regular snowy winters and cool summers and says there could be a shift in perception because the weather seems to not be getting warmer, but goes on to talk about the fact that the record is pretty firm that global air temperatures are increasing. And then it's a question of carbon dioxide. And you know about the whole global warming thing, right? It's not a tutorial here on America Tonight, but we'll throw it out anyway. Global warming, of course, refers to an increase of average temperatures on the Earth's near surface air and oceans. And there are experts who think that it's because of higher concentrations of greenhouse gases caused mostly by the burning of fossil fuels. And then there are plenty of other experts that dispute that and say it's about business and creating the myth to try to make it become a reality. So bottom line is a lot of Americans seem unworried. Are you in that category? Are you even concerned at all about global warming or global climate change? 800-259-5791. I mentioned at the top about Oral Roberts and the fact that he's died at the age of 91. Long life, big reputation, Oral Roberts, because he broke the mold. You know, when you're the forerunner of something, and he was one of the first to do the televised, basically, sermons, and had quite a following, and showed the power of television combined with religion. And now you see it. I mean, there's a whole entire station. There are plenty of programs on the airwaves. Some of them are on Sundays, and some of them spread all the way across the week. But back in the day, back in Oral Roberts' day, that wasn't the case. They were far and few, you know, in between. And here's a guy who has a university named after him. So he was a pioneer. He founded a multi-billion, it's at least a million, probably not billion, but a multi-million dollar ministry. And he died of complications from pneumonia in California. He was hospitalized on Saturday, had a fall. He survived a bunch of different health issues, heart attacks in the 90s, a broken hip. But it was really a new frontier. He started doing the thing, singing the song in the 1950s. And, of course, he dominated at the time. I mean, he dominated back in his day. And it all started, he says, his calling, when he overcame tuberculosis when he was just 17 years old. So, you know, 60s and 70s, he was hitting up, I'm sure, because he was also doing the radio thing and public appearances, millions of people. He even had a program, I can kind of remember this, was called Miracles Now, and his son was part of that program, too. Who knows what the future of televised, televised preachers are, but I think it's just the business has just gotten so much bigger, if you will. Tomas is listening to us in the great state of Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Hey, how's the global climate change over in Texas?
Well, one day it's cold and the next day it's warm. What do you attribute to that?
Bush's fault, yeah, it's me.
He moved back into the neighborhood, so it is his fault, yes.
Yeah, I heard that in Copenhagen where they're having all this conference that they're having the lowest temperature on record tomorrow. Isn't that interesting?
You know, they're having all that snow. So.
I read it on Free Republic. They're going to set a record tomorrow for the coldest day ever, the 17th. Hey, do you all have the Facebook up yet?
I've got a Facebook up, yes.
So what do I got to do? Just put in Kate Delaney?
Yeah, put in Kate Delaney. Absolutely.
Holy mackerel. Man,
I know.
It's on that.
Holy mackerel.
Hey, I think about this healthcare thing. I think that it's going to pass, no doubt. I don't know what form it's going to pass. But remember, you know, they really only need 51. If they go the nuclear option, they get rid of that. They only need 51. They got 60. So I think all of this debate that we've been seeing, all of this, you know, bleeding and this suffering and this fighting is just people establishing, you know, on the congressional record that they were against it, or they were for it, or they were for the public option, you know, so they can go back to their district and get those votes, you know. And then whatever finally comes through, they'll just say, well, you know, at least we got half a loaf, and then we'll try to get more slices later on. You know, because, I mean, you know, how can you not pass something when you have 60 and realistically you only have 51? I mean, you only need 51. If it gets down to it, I think they'll pull that nuclear option. And I don't see that, you know, it's going to be stopped. So
you know, that's the thing. You're right. If they do the nuclear option, we talked about this a couple of days ago when we have been talking about it. If they do go that route, then yes, absolutely, there would be enough. But the idea was not to do that, to make it, to keep it more intact, to not have to bully and threaten Tomas. So like you said, your theory's right about going back to the districts, I think, and saying, well, hey, you know, you didn't want it. I didn't want it. I did everything I could. That's why I was there fighting the good fight. I mean, you're right. So they'll play it politically, however it works for the particular people they represent. But the nuclear option would be kind of risky in a way for some who will be running for re-election. Stay with us.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carol Stove. CarolStove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. CarolStove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With CarolStove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at CarolStove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with CarolStove.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states, and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. loans. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court.
Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute.
Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, yeah. Stop that. Oh, you're killing me. Okay, they want me to dress up like Santa. My thoughts? What's this gonna prove? They want to remind you about the holiday special. So here it is. Buy a month's supply of Life Change Tea and get 2 extra weeks free. Get some free tea in the holiday spree.
Oh, my goodness.
Lose weight and don't become the size of Santa. Oh, who wrote this? Buy 1 month, get 2 weeks free. That's the best sale of the year. So go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Come on, new people. 928-308-0408. And all of you that have ordered the tea, thank you for this year. We love you guys.
Yeah, we know. You love us too.
The president can and cannot do when he hits the ground running in Copenhagen. Here's Senator Inhofe, his point of view from Oklahoma, the Republican there, and then Congressman Ed Markey, and he's a Democrat out of Massachusetts. Both of them disagree, obviously, on what the president is really authorized to do and what he has in his bag of tricks, although he is on a trip to that summit. But here's Senator Inhofe.
Well, see, Chris, that's the reason I'm going, to make sure people in these other 191 countries know the president can't do that. The emission reductions he's talking about are what you find in Markey's bill, and that isn't going to happen. Of course, that bill's dead. It'll never even be brought up again. And on top of that, he's going to commit, I understand, to some $10 billion a year to the developing countries. Now, here's China that holds $800 billion of our debt, and we're going to give them $10 billion to stop generating electricity? I don't think that's going to happen.
And then we go from Inhofe, that's his name, to Congressman Markey, who completely disagrees. He thinks that actually the president does have a leg to stand on and thinks that there will be some kind of change ultimately.
Without question, the president does have the authority to make a commitment based upon the endangerment finding. That is the authority the EPA will have, combined with higher fuel economy standards and other efficiency gains which we're going to make, including improvement in renewable electricity generation. So as the president goes there, based upon the Waxman-Markey bill, which has passed through the House of Representatives, which is a 17% reduction in greenhouse gases by 2020. The bill that's already passed through the Senate Environment Committee, which is also a 17 to 20% reduction, combined with all of the other activity that Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator Joe Lieberman, Senator John Kerry,
none of this
Senator,
passed.
Senator Susan Collins are all moving towards, there is real momentum now building for a bipartisan bill to pass through the United States Senate as well.
All right, so bipartisan bill in the Senate. Right now, I think that's dead on arrival at this point. But that doesn't mean swinging into the new year. There's obviously not enough time for anything, and we know that, and we knew that was going to get shoved off. The Obama administration, I already mentioned this several times, has a big target. The target is 17% reduction from 2005 emission levels by 2020. So that's 3, maybe to 4% from 1990, okay? And like I said, the European Union not happy with what they see as the U.S. and China not being aggressive enough. Now, in Beijing, China is accusing the developing countries of trying to escape their own obligations to help poor nations fight climate change. China thinks the United States and other people from countries with bigger bucks or the rich nations have the responsibility to say, cut the crap, we're going to help cut the emissions, and that any climate deal would have to take into account a country's development level. See, that's the thing. Taking on more money especially in the times that we're in right now. So this conference amounts to 2 years of work for the people involved in this with the UN, and they're drawing up recommendations on all kinds of things besides the emissions, deforestation and technology transfers and a slew of other things. But the bottom line is emissions, the target there is there's a key obstacle, a couple of obstacles, and I don't think anything's going to come out of this. I don't think you're going to see any kind of a loose agreement that will ultimately hold people's, meaning the country's, feet to the fire. So you have these delegates that are pounding in the long hours, and they're trying to shake the trees to make something happen. But I don't see it. They're not going to get this 2-degree target that they're hoping for, and they need China and the U.S. to be on board with the numbers. Otherwise, it won't happen. So that's why that started to float around that the U.S. wasn't aggressive and China wasn't aggressive. And that's why the Secretary of State suddenly is running over to Copenhagen. That, you know, they've dispatched Clinton so she can put out some of the, or alleviate some of the fears and things that are bubbling up. She gets there the day before Barack Obama. And you just heard there two different opinions, obviously, on what the president can and cannot do. There are ways around it with the EPA, and that's what it looks like it's amounting to. You know, what can the president promise without support of the Congress? Because there is no support of the Congress. It hasn't gone through the Senate. The cap and trade that flew through the House hasn't been discussed in the Senate. So, frankly, that's, to me, it has to go through the Congress ultimately, although you could circumvent through some of the loopholes with the EPA. And I guess that ultimately that's what's happening here. All right, I touched on this briefly, and it's worth mentioning because many of you are in some of these cold weather areas that you get hit with a lot of snow. And have you ever had this happen to you at these traffic lights? You know, actually, it's happened to me. It happened to me in a place just that happened to get slammed with a blizzard back in Jersey, but not known necessarily for, you know, huge amounts of snow. But in a lot of cities, it's gotten very, very tricky, and who would have thought that these bulbs are not hot enough to melt the snow, and they get crusted over in a storm, so people drive through. I've seen that. I've actually seen that happen, the LED bulbs, because they're 90% less energy than the old incandescent stuff that they used to have in there, right? And so this is the drawback. The drawback is that they don't waste energy, I guess, by producing heat, but some people are ending up in horrible traffic situations as a result of that. And, you know, as soon as I heard this, I started to think about it. What about airport runway lights? What happens when they get coated with stuff? They've got to have some kind of a weather shield. So that's what's going to have to happen. That's what they're going to have to put on these, I think, on these lights, because with the LEDs, they have an incredible amount of savings. They say like 80% in some cases, but pretty significant. You're talking about how much, like in Wisconsin, they were even quoting it. They said the LED bulbs at the intersection saved almost $800,000 a year. That's an unbelievable number. So a lot of these bulbs have been there for maybe 7-8 years. In Minnesota, they're halfway to the goal of upgrading 1,300 or so traffic lights to LEDs, and they want to save that money. But you think of Minnesota, and you think of the snow and the ice and whatnot, so they have to be experimenting with the weather shields, because otherwise, I don't see how they wouldn't have the same problem. Matt, I know your throat's killing you, but you are in Minnesota. You can attest to this. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about? I only saw it once, like I said, in New Jersey, where the traffic light, it gets frosted over so you can't tell whether it's green or red or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen it happen before, but usually when I leave here, there's no one else on the road, so I could just kind of go whenever.
So it's okay for you.
Right.
Because of that, yeah. But otherwise, it wouldn't be. So you can imagine at rush hour how dicey that can be. And I'm talking about some of the second-tier intersections, too. That's where it's scary.
You think they'd figure that out, though?
I know. That's what I mean. You know, here's the problem, and you know this. You have to look at things from all different angles. But these, you know, it's not you and I. We're not these engineers. But they're getting paid a pretty decent dough, and they sit in there. Oh, okay, well, this is a good way to save money. Boom, done. So the city council votes on it, but then they don't think about the possibility, oh, yeah, we have this tricky weather for a big chunk of the year, and we get, basically frost and snow, and it might be a little tough on the eyes.
Right. I mean, it's like selling a coat without like a winter lining in it.
No kidding. Absolutely, because what you would buy in Minnesota is different than what you would buy for a coat in California.
Right.
Let's say in Northern California, where they do get some cold weather, but cold to them is nothing like cold in Minnesota or South Dakota. It is. It's stupid. I mean, it is. That's what we can say. It's stupid. Please. Right? Anybody else had this happen to them, though, with the lights? 800-259-5791. That's a lot of money to save, though. A lot of money. Stu in Kentucky, hello. You have the floor.
Hey, Kate. I just want to chime in on the lights a minute. My business has always been transportation and trucking business. All our trucks have always had tons of lights, trucks and trailers, tons of lights.
Mm.
We switched to the LED, and we switched to them for one reason. They were easier on alternators, and when you're paying $170 an alternator, it's a hell of a lot easier to put these LEDs on. Say, they're more money in the end, or in the beginning, but in the long run, they're cheaper. They last 10 times longer. Maxima, like we used to use a company called Maxima, they give a lifetime warranty on pipes. The point is, when we bought potatoes like out of Wisconsin, the brake lights, when we used incandescent bulbs, it used to melt the snow. When we switched the LED on the taillights, brake lights, you still had to go back there constantly sweep the snow off because they don't burn hot enough. But they're definitely a best investment.
All right, so that's a good point by Stu. Thanks for throwing your 2 cents in on that one. LEDs, that's what we're talking about. Stay with us.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to Liquid Zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free Liquid Zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid Zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get 3 bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Can you feel it? See it, hear it today. If you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand it, cause it happens to me. And it feels so good, it's like walking the glass. It's so cool, so hip, it's alright. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, feel it, pieces of meat.
The thick of it, the cold weather that is, and snow that slammed in the Midwest that's still lingering. But you know what it's like when you have blizzard conditions? It's tough anyway when you're driving like that. But Stu mentions a good point with trucks and transportation, and I've seen that. So the LEDs save a ton of money, and he's saying you got to clear them all off. You got to just get the snow off there because they're not going to melt it off, which is what's happened with these traffic lights. It has caused accidents in some of these cities because the bulbs aren't hot enough to melt the snow that covers them up. So what do? You don't want to get into these fender benders or worse. The new lights aren't melting the snow, and that's a problem. So they're trying to figure out, well, how do we combat this? Because we like saving this money, and we like using these LED lights. You only have to replace them, you know, maybe, I guess, really, if you look at the lights, what they're saving energy-wise, what did I tell you? In the one city in Wisconsin, almost $800,000, that's pretty big. And you don't, you know, they last for a long time, 7, 8 years, whatever it is. Incandescent light bulbs, while they're hotter and they're melting snow and all that sort of stuff, they have to be replaced maybe every 18 months or so, occasionally a little bit less. So the deal is you're going to have these obstructed lights, and that's one of those things where you're trusting the driver across the way, which that doesn't work. So these shields, I think, is what has to happen. You have to put up more of these weather shields, and I don't know what it costs to put those up. And, you know, not every snow storm means that snow is going to stick to the lights, but if you get the wind in the right way and the snow's wet, that's what's going to happen from Des Moines to Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So how much will it cost to fix it all? It would probably cut into the savings that a lot of these cities probably like. But at the same time, you can't have a bunch of these accidents as a result of that. Mike is listening to us in Iowa. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Kate. Good evening.
Hello. What's on your mind?
Well, it is about those LEDs. I heard on the news just a little bit ago, and it made me laugh when I heard it, but they were talking about the icing problem, and they said that most airports already have a heating system that keeps the lights free of debris, frozen ice and such. But I think it was in Minnesota where they were talking about experimenting with a similar system to heat the traffic control signals to keep the ice off, but they use so much energy, it makes it inefficient for them to use the LEDs because it uses more energy than if they just left it alone in the first place with the incandescent bulb. Well, I almost ran off the road when I heard that. I thought, well, that's a good way to save money, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
Our government at work, don't it? Yeah, doesn't it make you proud of our government?
No, I don't understand that. You know, I know that things can fall through the cracks, but why don't you look at all angles of it? Obviously, a light, you have to talk about it, the weather, the conditions, just like at the airport, the conditions. Can they see the lights when they're coming down on the runway? Can you see the lights? I mean, traffic lights couldn't be more important at these intersections because that's how accidents happen. People go through the lights and hit somebody else on the other side.
Yeah, I think it's just a symptom of the whole system anymore. Everything has to be done in a grandiose manner. You can't just take an incremental step for a test.
Yep.
You have to do the whole nine yards all at once.
Absolutely. Excellent point. Thanks for the call. That's it. It's too much red tape. He's absolutely right. I'll tell you a quick story. I have a friend who's a professor at the University of Central Florida. It's in Orlando. And she was telling me it was something simple. They needed to change out a projector or something. And you could have just literally walked down the hall and gotten the projector. Boom, it's done. Here we have this big class, this lecture room that we need this projector for. But no, they had to file something and put it in the system. Then the system has to process it. In other words, it took 2 months to get the projector that they needed for the class that was right down the hall that they could have wheeled in, but they couldn't do it because that wasn't by the book, and that wasn't, through the paper-pushing method. So sometimes it is a question of, you know, too much government. Well, I say that all the time. Smaller government is better. Thinkers that think outside of the box is better. You know, somebody can't say, hey, listen, let me raise my hand here. What about different conditions? And, you know, certainly the lights are out there in the elements. It's like the wind. The wind swings and the light, you don't want the light to go flying off the pole, so they have a way to anchor it so that doesn't happen. Well, somebody thought of that, right, ahead of time. So you would think that they would have thought of that, especially because you know that from lights that are at airport runways and in other places. Scott in West Virginia. Hello, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, not much. I was just thinking, you know, I mean, do you think they'd have enough sense to put heating elements in them lights to take care of that problem as far as the traffic lights go?
Yeah, or like I said, they're talking about these weather shields, but if they put the weather shields in the first place, it wouldn't cost them all this money to have to put them in now and go back. So if they had known that from the beginning, if they had thought about, okay, a traffic light, yeah, we got to have it.
Well, now we've only had traffic lights around for what, about 75 years, you know?
It's not long enough.
It's not rocket science here. It's just, you know, what irritates me real bad, too, is these these cities, they spend millions of dollars with all these, what do you call them, the
consultants?
The lights on the side of the road, where they, you know,
oh,
the lights
Yeah, that's right.
And you can't see, you can't, them's the worst things in the world, you know, if you forget when you're pulling out a parking lot, you forget to turn your lights on, you get out there, you can see better without your headlights on, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even with your headlights on, though, I mean, they make it harder to see at nighttime, especially right before it gets completely dark. Have you ever noticed that when you're trying to drive and you got all these lights lit up going down through there and you can't hardly see, you could see a lot better if you just had your headlights on, in other words, and there wasn't any in the pitch dark, you know.
I agree with you. I noticed that big difference just recently when I was in Orlando versus in Dallas, and I could see better in where I was in Orlando because they didn't have all those lights in the one section where I was. So you just were looking through, you saw the headlights in front of you, it was clear, it was easy to maneuver, versus what you're talking about, the other lights, almost like, I like call it eye candy or candy corn or whatever. They're just popping all around you. I know what you mean. And then that kind of screws with your vision. So you have that to contend with. And then you have this situation at these traffic lights where people can't see if it's a green light or a red light. They start to make a turn, and then a driver comes from the opposite direction, and they plow right into you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, some of the things that they do in these, the government does, and especially mm-hmm. It seems like the higher level you go from city on up to the state, the further out of hand it gets, you know, that the crazy things that they do that doesn't make a lick of sense, you know. I mean, on the county level, at least you've got a little bit of some people that are still down to earth, and then you get up in the state level, and they're going, I mean, look at your state highways, the road workers. You look at the condition all our state roads are in, and as much money they make off these lotteries and everything else, the taxes, you know. There's no reason why we shouldn't be driving down streets of gold. This is the richest in the world. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I agree. You wonder, like with the potholes and all that stuff, where is the money going to?
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Scott, makes a lot of sense to me. Stay safe there in West Virginia.
Hey, you too.
All right. And, you know, it's interesting, too. I want to say this, and in all seriousness, there was a 34-year-old girl. This happened in April. They had a bad storm in Illinois where she was living, and Lisa Richter couldn't see. So she started to turn, just like I was describing before. She had a green light, so she was in the right of way. Somebody came from another direction, didn't realize the stoplight was blocked by snow, and slammed into her car. Sadly, she was killed. She was killed as a result of that. So it is a serious problem, and the weather shields probably just should have been there in the first place, and then they wouldn't have to contend with, geez, how do we come up with the money to go back? It's called CYA, my friends.